Welcome to All Things Madison, the podcast exclusively for kids. Sure to tickle your funny bone while learning something new at the same time. You'll hear from talking bears.
Why that is such a big deal, I'll never know.
Laughing unicorns.
You guys are so funny.
Farting sloths.
Hey, watch it. I'm lactose intolerant. I'm only gassy when I drink milk.
Yeah, we're part of the show too. Even the folks in the dollhouse have a part.
Bonjour.
Hi.
Hey guys.
Hi y'all.
Hello. Don't forget about the rest of us.
Here's your host, Madison Lauren. Please enjoy the show.
Hey friends, welcome to my show. Well, technically my bedroom, but you know what I mean. Anyways, you might be wondering why it's called All Things Madison. Well, because I'm Madison, and it's about all the things I like. Like, I love all my stuffed animals and dolls, and I got you to meet them. And of course, then there's my fave, Princess the Unicorn.
Oh, Madison, you're my favorite too.
You probably noticed that Princess is the inspiration behind my unicorn logo. Yep, that's her, my friend. And I like cooking my dad, creating new characters like my chimneys, who eat worms, talk in their own language, and fight with some very territorial birds. See? And I love learning new stuff and the latest funny TikToks. I also really enjoyed writing my new graphic novel, The Magnificent Cheeros. So, what's the show about? Funny skits and segments, cool interviews, and behind the scenes, but mostly just trying to make kids and their parents laugh all while learning something new.
That's right.
Oh, hey, Daddy. I was just about to tell them that it's overall fun stuff for kids of all ages.
And families.
I also talk about the heavy stuff sometimes too, like ocean pollution, climate change, or deforestation. Cause it's gonna be up to us to fix it.
But keep it fun.
Right, now on to the show.
First off, Miss Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Madison. I'm thrilled to be here.
It's not every day an 8-year-old gets to meet a New York Times bestselling author.
Well, it's not every day a New York Times bestselling author gets to have a nice, cool meeting with an 8-year-old named Madison.
And with over 100 books under your belt, I don't even know where to start, but I'll jump in. Question one, to begin with, as I said in your bio, it seems like you look for quirky ways to get kids to look at things differently, like history of poop or how bugs get changed the world, stuff like that. That's kind of fascinating. So tell me, how did you come up with that?
You know, I think every author who writes for kids has an inside kid in them, and my inside kid is 10 or 11 years old. I think I just love things that 10 and 11-year-olds like, or I hope I do. And I sort of think if I think something's cool or worth investigating, I hope that a kid your age will think the same thing. So I was fascinated, and I look into things I really want to find out about. Like, I wanted to know who invented the toilet. Do you know who invented the toilet?
No.
Would you like to know? A lot of people think, they say, oh yeah, John Crapper. No such person, actually. The guy's name was Thomas Crapper, and he did not invent the toilet. He sort of modified the design. There really wasn't just one person who invented the toilet, the flush toilet, I mean. But a bunch of different people who were good at plumbing kind of developed it over a few decades.
That's neat. Question two. With so many books in print, your mind must be busy all the time. How do you find time for your personal life? And what do you recommend to the writers who struggle with work and life balance?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, this is going to sound really sort of preachy and goopy, probably, especially when I say it to a kid. But if I could give kids one bit of advice, it's study what you want to study and try to find a job that you really enjoy doing. Because if you love what you do, it doesn't feel like work. And I love what I do. I love history. I love reading history. I love learning about history. I love writing. So it doesn't really feel like a job. So, you know, I think it's also, I'm married to a teacher. My husband teaches high school kids. And both of us actually do struggle with that a little bit. Like, when can you leave your work behind and go just have fun? Because teachers always have work to do. They always have lessons to plan or papers to grade or whatever it is you those teachers do. But and writers, it's kind of the same thing. I always, my mind is always thinking, ooh, wouldn't this be a cool idea? Maybe I should look into that. Or, ooh, I should really revise, blah, blah, blah. Or, I mean, I'm always thinking about my work, but luckily I like my work. But you're right, it is hard. It's not easy to strike a balance. And I kind of make myself strike a balance. Like I love to play basketball. I love to exercise. I love to be in my garden. I love to walk my dog. So I just have myself take breaks and go do other stuff. And, you know, that's also a great way to come up with great ideas, because when you're sitting there staring at your computer and thinking, oh, I have to have an idea, I have to have an idea, you don't get an idea. But if you go do something else, like you go walk your dog or go for a run or whatever, sometimes ideas will just pop into your head.
I have to agree. Question 3. You seem to really like bugs. Why do you like bugs so much? To be honest, bugs gross me out.
Ah, but you haven't met the right bugs, Madison. I'm going to tell you, there are bugs that if I never meet another one, I will consider that too soon. Like mosquitoes, I could live without mosquitoes quite happily for the rest of my life. I could live without all kinds of cockroaches and biting ants. And I mean, those are the ones that get all the headlines in the news, you know, or like, or stinging hornets, things like that. But those are just a teeny tiny percentage of the quintillion bugs there are in the world. And most insects don't bother people. Most insects are just going about their little insect lives, doing what insects do. And some of them are so incredibly cool, like ants. Ants are, I could, when I was your age, I used to just sit and watch ants, you know, carrying stuff 5 times their body weight and building little sand castles and things like that. I mean, insects are really amazing if you really pay attention to them and don't get too skeeved out. But yeah, I agree with you. There are insects that I would like to never meet, like a bot fly. Go look that one up. That's not a pleasant insect at all. I won't tell you about it though.
Okay. Question 4. You have a very interesting career path. You were a semi-professional basketball player overseas, which means you're really good. When you worked at the production company for that produces one of my favorite kids' shows, Sesame Street, did that give you insight into writing for children?
It sure did. When I was playing basketball, I played basketball all through high school and all through college. And then after college, this is way back in the 80s. This is a million trillion years ago. There weren't a lot of opportunities for women to play basketball back then. There were no like women's basketball leagues. There was certainly no WNBA, anything like that. Not that I was good enough to play in the WNBA, but you know, it'd be nice to have the option had I been that good. So I was surprised when I went to live in Cairo, Egypt, that women there played basketball, and boy, do they. It was so fun to play on this team while I was there. And then I came back from Cairo, and I was looking for a job, and I moved to New York City because my sister lived there, and I slept on the floor of her apartment while I looked for a job. And that's where I found this job at Sesame Street. So I was just super, super lucky that I managed to find this job. And that's when I realized I wanted to write for kids, because I knew I kind of wanted to be a writer, but I wasn't sure what kind of a writer. And then when I got this job at Sesame Street, that's when I realized this is my true love, is writing for kids.
Interesting story. And my last question, what do you tell young writers like myself who want to one day write books and travel around the world speaking to kids in different parts of the country?
Well, it sounds like you're already doing a lot of the work that it takes. It sounds like you have a big interest in books. I'm guessing you're quite a reader, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's the first major route to becoming a good writer, is being a reader. And reading anything you want. It doesn't have to be, you know, high literature or anything like that. You should read whatever you want to read and whatever gives you pleasure, or whatever makes you laugh or cry or want to turn the pages. And then if you want to really study how to become a writer, go back to the books that you love and go back to the places in the books that you love, like maybe the end of a chapter where the book made you cry or made you laugh or made you want to turn the page and keep reading. And look at it again. Read that section again and see if you can tell, what did the writer do to bring out this reaction in me as a reader? Like, do the sentences get shorter, or are there a lot of really cool verbs in there, or is it very spare? Is there a lot of description? You know, there's all kinds of little strategies that writers use to bring out emotions in their readers. And if you just read something for pleasure first, don't pay any attention to what you think the writer's doing, but then go back and read it again and see if you can sort of see what the writer did. So I still do that as a grown-up. I read everything I can. I love to read. I don't know a single writer who's a professional writer who is not also a reader. But if there's a book that I love, I will go back and I will read it again. And I will see, what is it about this book that I love so much? And I don't know, sometimes when I want to get in the mood to write, I read. I used to feel guilty about, like, in the middle of my workday, just sitting in a chair and reading. But then, you know what? Reading is part of my job as a writer. And it's just the same as you as a kid. It's part of your job, too, if you want to become a writer.
It is. Miss Sarah, I really appreciate your time.
Well, this has been super fun for me. It's not every day I get to talk to a cool kid like you.
Thank you. Please don't be a stranger to the show. And let us know when your next book comes out so we can support it. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
That wraps up this episode of our show. Each week, we hope to bring something different, new, and exciting with a few laughs along the way. You'll see these segments along with others, but I'll jump into the kitchen to teach you some of my favorite recipes. Or you'll see me talk to kids at different events around the city. Or maybe stuff dealing with fashion, sneaker culture, or other kids' influences. Either way, I'll always keep it spicy. So, be sure to give me a like, follow, or subscribe to keep up with us. To pre-order my new book, The Magnificent Sheroes, just go to shopmadisonlauren.com. Oh yeah, and you'll find all my merch there too. Remember, we love you just the way you are. Until next time, I'm out.
Oh, and introducing The Fantastical Adventures of Sleepy Steve by my dad, the animated series, coming to a screen near you soon.
He's back.
They call me S-L-E-E-P-Y.
Get ready for the return of the funniest kid alive with The Fantastical Adventures of Sleepy Steve. And now he's animated.
Cool. Where we going?
As we discovered, Steve's notorious sleep disorder isn't what it seems. Steve must find out as much as he can about his new power. How does he control it? What are his limits? And most of all, Can he stop the mysterious evil villain Ratface with powers he hasn't mastered yet? Stay up to date on the launch of the coolest cartoon series coming to a screen near you.
Thank you for listening to All Things Madison. Kindly take a moment to subscribe, leave a comment, and rate the show so that our participating partners know you are following along. You can get your Madison Lauren graphic tees at shopmadisonlauren.com or follow her YouTube channel at All Things Madison. This production was brought to you by Infinity Global Media Group, LLC. Contact us at smith.durante@gmail.com for bookings or more information.